For you, I was preparing to share a message from John chapter 15, and I was going to be speaking on the topic of persecution and suffering, because as we look in that text, Jesus is very forthright in sharing with us the reality of being a disciple, because as you know, we've been carrying on this entire last 4 months now in talking about what does it mean to be a disciple in the 21st century. Now, last week, Pastor Ian shared with us the message, the strong message that to be a Christ disciple is to love as Jesus loved in humility and in service. And this week, the message that I was preparing to share with you was that as Christ followers, that we endure persecution as Jesus was persecuted. But as I was praying about this and I was wrestling with this message to share with you this morning, God just really worked in my heart and the Spirit just revealed that this is perhaps not the message I ought to be sharing with you this morning. And so to be honest, I'm really kind of winging it this morning and allowing the Spirit to lead me to share with you a message I think we all need to hear this morning, especially today being Palm Sunday. You know, Palm Sunday, as we all have known, a couple of weeks ago I shared from John chapter 12, Palm Sunday is the day that we commemorate the coming of Christ entering into the city of Jerusalem. He's coming in as the triumphant King of Kings, and that his disciple Mary had just spent the time preparing him, and she didn't know that's what she was doing. That all she thought she was doing was showing devotion and love, but in essence, she really was preparing him to be the sacrificial lamb for the sacrifice. As we think about this coming week, and we think about the fact that this coming Friday is Good Friday, and what that means in the bigger scheme of God's redemptive plan. And as I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, we talk about this king in our lives, and I asked myself, who is this king? Who is this king that we share? Who is this king that we bring in triumphantly? And Lord led me to Psalm chapter 72, and this was the reading in my scripture reading this week. And if you want to turn with me to Psalm 72, please, I have no PowerPoint this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to bring take your Bibles out. And we're just going to read through this. In Psalm 72 is a psalm that the scholars have studied this text, could have been written by David for his son Solomon, could have actually written by Solomon himself. And essentially, it's a coronation psalm. It's something that would have been read at Solomon's appointment as king of Israel. And this is what David says. He says, "Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. He will be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days, the righteous will flourish. Prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. He will rule from sea to sea and rule from the river to the ends of the earth. And the desert tribes will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. And all kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. Let grain abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. Let its fruit flourish like Lebanon. Let it thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. And all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. You know, this morning as I was preparing to share this message, the Lord just led me to feel that I think we need to be sharing a message of encouragement. You know, I think I could very easily share a message about, you know, what it is to be a disciple, to endure persecution, to endure suffering for Christ. And you know, I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, everyone knows what that's like. I don't need to tell you that that's true. That is the deal. I can't lie. That is our fortune. To follow Christ is to endure suffering, to endure persecution. But we endure persecution and we endure suffering in different forms. You know, some of us here may be here today and we have oppression maybe from our work pressures, school pressures. Maybe we are just so concerned with what's going on in the world, in our finances. Maybe we're just depressed. Maybe we're just sick and tired. Maybe we come today weary and broken. Maybe we have joy today. I don't know where you are. I think I know where you are. But it leads me to think that today, that maybe this is what we need to come back to remember again truly who is this King that we worship, who is this King that we praise. You know, as I said before, this is a psalm of a coronation. And as David is praying in the first few verses here, he's praying that, first of all, that his son, Solomon, would be a king who would be righteous, who would be just. And interestingly enough, later on, the Old Testament scholars, as well as the New Testament first century church, understood that these scriptures here don't just pertain to Solomon, the king, but it also refers to the Messiah, the chosen one, the one who saves. And so in that sense, when we talk about the king, who is this king? We would like a king who is just, who is righteous. Am I wrong? Am I right? Because when we think about a king, we don't want a dictator. We don't want a king who forces us to give him tribute and to just give him adoration. Or rather, that we want a king we know who will look out for us, who will be there to serve us, to be there when we face injustice and unrighteousness. And I'm sure we all feel today there are times in our lives, maybe this week, where you've been wronged unjustly. Maybe you have been unrighteously treated. Know that there is a Lord. Know that there is a King in heaven who is there, who does reign with justice as righteousness. You know, he goes on to say, the mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills are fruits of righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the people, save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. And how many of us feel today that we are in need of God? That today, as we come in this time of worship, you know, I was sharing with my youth group last night, what is the church for? The church in its original intention was to be a place for fellowship of believers who believed in the one true God. They knew that when they took on this faith, that when they believed in the risen Christ, they were going to face persecution. They were going to face suffering. And so then a church was formed, a fellowship of believers, a body of believers came together, those who had the same faith, and they would encourage one another. They would love one another. They would be there for one another. And that's what a church is. We are a fellowship of believers in its deepest, truest sense. And so we need one another. And we encourage one another. And as scriptures here remind us, you know, we may feel oppressed, but our King, Jesus, he will be the one who will crush the oppressors in our lives. He goes on to say that this King that we are to, that we love, that we care about, that we want so deeply in our lives, will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all the generations. As you all know, kings come and kings go. Rulers come and rulers go. Obama will not be president of the United States forever and ever and ever. You know that. We have a king. We have a king in Jesus, who is one, who will live forever and ever and ever, and amen. goes on to say that he will rule from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. The desert tribes will bow before him. His enemies will lick the dust. And goes on to say, all kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. As we look in this world today again, we're reminded daily just of the pressures of the economy and how it's, everything just seems to be topsy-turvy. It doesn't make sense. And this scriptures remind us today that this earth, while right now belongs to Satan, will not be like that forever. That our King Jesus essentially rules this earth as well. Everything from sea to sea in it belongs to him. Do you believe that today? That all your troubles, all your fears, all your transgressions, all your sins, all belong to him today. He can take that. He can forgive you for that. He can love you for that. He will redeem you for that. And that's what we're talking about today. As we talk about this coming Good Friday, what does it mean that Jesus has redeemed us? That he is the substitutionary lamb that has come on and take on our sins. That he who knew no sin became sin for us today. Goes on to say, he will deliver the needy who will cry out, the afflicted who have no help. You feel you have no help today. You feel alone. You feel lost. You feel like no one cares. Well, Jesus cares for you today. He takes pity on the weak and the needy and saves us from death. He rescues us from oppression and violence. And because of this hope that we have in Christ, because we know, we believe in the risen King, because we believe in the King that has sacrificed for us, that we can say, long may he live. Long may he live. Will you say that with me? Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. And all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Very short message this morning. Not even really a message. But I truly hope it's a word of encouragement for you today as we think about Palm Sunday. As the crowds came in that day, as he came in that day, how electric that feeling must have been to hear about Jesus, to want to see Jesus for ourselves, for themselves. They've heard so much about him. They want to see him. Do we want to see him today? This morning, we're going to be moving into a time of communion, and we're going to do something a little different. We're not going to be serving wafers, and we're not going to be serving grape juice. I know that that's something we've done traditionally in our church, and that's fine, because we realize that the wafer and the grape juice really have no power. They're really just elements that we use as a remembrance to signify Christ's body and Christ's blood. This morning, we're going to be using pita bread and wine vinegar. And I really was not doing this just for novelty's sake, but I was really focusing and thinking about what does it mean? What does this whole Passover meal comes to be? Passover, as I've said before, is this time when the Israelites would get together to recall, to remember the grace that God gave to his people from certain death. They were passed over because of the lamb that they sacrificed. So today, as we take the communion, as we take the bread and the cup, we rejoice that we've been passed over. So as we take the bread and cup this morning, as I said, we're going to be doing something different. The bread here, I chose the pita bread because it's the closest thing I could find to unleavened bread. And unleavened bread is supposed to be bread that has no yeast in it. And it's not meant to be tasty. It's not meant to be sweet. It's meant to be a little hard. It's meant to be a little dry. And it reminds us this morning as we tear the bread this morning, because all of us are going to tear a piece of the bread. It reminds us again of what it was when Christ's body was torn for us. And as you take the cup this morning, if you take the dish that holds the wine vinegar, as I was trying to explain this, scholars really aren't sure what exactly happened at the Last Supper. Some say it was grape juice. Some people say it was wine. Some people say it's wine vinegar. And for today, I'd like to go with the wine vinegar argument. And as I said before, I was going to share on John chapter 15 about suffering and persecution. And one of the things is, as we step out in faith, as we go out and be the Christ disciples, we are going to face persecution because we choose to not associate with the world, because we choose to be identified with Christ fully in His joys, in His sacrifice. And we also speak the truth, exposing people of their sin. And so when we think about the cup and the wine vinegar, if you're not sure what it is a wine that's been left to ferment a little longer than regular drinking wine. And so it's a bit sweet, and it's a bit sour. As you take the bread this morning, as you dip your bread into the wine vinegar, as you taste it, I ask you to let it linger for a second. Because the sweetness, what does the sweetness remind us of? The sweetness reminds us of our salvation, of what we look forward to on the coming Sunday, when Christ is risen. It's also sour because someone had to die for our sins. I encourage you to reflect on those this morning as the elements come around. It is, again, as I said, a tradition of our church that we ask baptized believers only to participate in the communion. But I also encourage those of us today who have not yet been baptized but have made a profession of faith in Christ to participate in us, with us, because I believe communion is for all Christ believers. I'm going to invite the deacons to come forward. And what's going to happen is I'm going to give them the bread. And you're going to pass the bread plate to the next person, but you're going to serve them, you're going to hold it for them, and maybe help them to tear the bread, maybe. But basically, I would like us to serve one another this morning, okay? And the same will be when the cup comes, that they will take you will dip the bread in the wine and then take it. So I'm not going to pray for you this morning. I'm going to ask you to take your time to reflect on the words this morning, reflect on the elements this morning, and then take your time to take the bread and take the cup. Okay? So could the deacons please come forward? Will those who like to partake in the communion this morning please rise?